is up? It is me, George Jeeve. Got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Oscar Sharpie. He is certified financial planner with Provise Management Group. We had an awesome conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. Then we got into conversations about paying for college and planning for college and why it's such an easy thing to procrastinate on and to think about doing it next week, next quarter, next year. We talked about all the different ways that are actually available to pay for college in ever-changing and seemingly ever more expensive environment. We talked about what happens to this money if we saved it and then our kid doesn't use it. What happens then? How do we manage all these things? And then how do we manage just all the expectations and making sure that what we're doing is the right fit for us and making sure that we as parents are doing everything that we need to do to make ourselves financially responsible so that when we're older, our kids aren't going to be totally responsible for us. We, of course, close with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Oscar, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Hi, George. Thank you for having me on. All right. My two truths and a lie are my fiance and I have two cats named Lily and Kaya. The second one is I speak three languages. And the third one being I played on the UF club soccer team and we won the first and only national championship with that team.
Poof. All right. These are good. You have two cats with you and your fiance, Lily and Kaya, were the cats' names, Oscar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speak three languages, and you, national champion at the University of Florida in soccer, the first and only one?
Yeah, on the club team.
On the club team. Awesome. Well, these are great. Well, I bet you speak at least two languages. You know what? I bet the first one's a lie, that you don't have two cats.
Ah, you got me. Ah. So we have one cat, and her name is Kaya, but no second cat.
Maybe the future. It sounds like you love cats named Lily. So
yeah, if my fiance will have her way, I'm sure we will have a second cat.
Okay, got it. Do you feel like one cat's enough?
I'm definitely a dog person, but the cat has grown on me. I came into the relationship and she already had the cat. So that's how that developed.
Got it. Yeah. So the cat is the incumbent. Tough to unseat the incumbent. All right. And you do, in fact, speak three languages?
I do. I was born and raised in Norway. So Norway is my native language. And then English, everyone in Europe, I would say, starts learning English or around the world at this point. And then I also spent a few years in Germany when I grew up. So I speak, broken German at this point, but I count it.
All right. Yep. We will give you credit for that. And congratulations on the national championship on the club team.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, for sure. That is awesome. What kind of dog would you get if you can get a dog?
Oh, great question. My fiance, she is allergic technically, but her family's grown up with poodles. So some type of poodle or doodle. She's pushing the poodle agenda, but I'm pushing the doodle something. So we'll see.
Well, it sounds like you're on the right track anyway. It's not no dog or dog.
Yes.
It's at least
yes. That may have been a breaking point in our relationship if I told her no dog. So
right. Yeah, totally get it. Yeah. Okay, excellent. Well, what is top of mind for you right now, Oscar?
Well, a lot. I mean, personally and professionally, there's a lot going on. I mean, I'm sure you've seen all the news about the big, beautiful bill out there that's passed through Congress and now in the Senate. But on the personal front, which is kind of marinating or marrying my professional life is family planning. I'm at the age where every other weekend I'm at a wedding or a baby shower, especially the latter. And a lot of my friends and family know that I'm in the financial planning industry. And I know enough to be dangerous when it comes to education planning, family planning. And so they come to me with all types of different questions. And it helps me, get back to the roots and do some research on my own and my CFP. So I know plenty when it comes to education planning, at least. But familiarizing myself again with all those topics is kind of what I've been doing lately, at least.
And part of this family planning, is this also something that you and your fiance are engaged in, Oscar?
Early stages. So no kids on the way yet. The only planning we're doing is for potentially a dog, but yes, there will be kids in the future at some point. So this is good practice when I talk to clients and friends as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been a couple of years for me since I went through that whole deal of getting married and having the conversations about children. So I couldn't help myself but to ask, because most people just can't help themselves but to ask extremely personal questions to people they barely know. So I wanted to take that opportunity. So, okay, good. Are people excited about the potential of paying for college these days? Does it terrify the heck out of them? Somewhere in the middle?
I think it's one of those topics that no one wants to touch until it's almost too late in a lot of instances. People know it's a big expense that will be on the horizon, but it seems like such an insurmountable amount of money down the road that they, you know, it's one of those things that you just put on the back burner longer than you should, when in reality, there's a lot of simple planning tips that or tricks that you can implement now. And have it not be so detrimental down the road, if you will. So, you know, a lot of the things that I try to do is try to tackle those questions and tackle those strategies as early as possible. As we all know, the earlier you start investing, the better off you are, just because of compounding interest is on your side.
It is one of those superhuman things that we do. We know something's important. We know it's going to take a lot of money to save, yet we just don't want to do it right now. So little things. So is it a function of are people? Well, it's all relative, but are people thinking we want to be able to pay for all of this? We want to pay for some of it. What are some of those conversations?
Yeah, it's very personal. It's very emotional for a lot of people. If you come from a family where your parents paid for your whole education, most of those people then want to, you know, pass that on and pay for all their children's education. I have clients that fall into that category, and I have clients who said, hey, I worked my way through college. I paid for my own tuition, room and board, and I made it out either debt-free or was able to pay off my debt relatively quickly. My children should be able to do the same. And there's no right or wrong answer there. So it really boils down to, you know, what your emotional preference is. But the financial piece is such a big part of it these days, just because education costs have grown so much relative to inflation, relative to the rest of our expenses, that to say that your children are in the same position that you are when you went to college 20, 30, 40 years ago is not an accurate statement anymore, because kids these days have higher costs relative to their future incomes and relative to what colleges and universities used to cost. So those conversations vary very widely in how they go and how people want to prepare.
There's so many different variables that are going into this. And that was a wonderful example talking about, well, my folks paid for my college, so it's also important that we do that for our kids. Or I worked and I graduated without any debt. So those are both very viable, and they happen all the time. And the cost of education is not the same across schools, across states, even in cities. I'm sure that there's schools in Florida that cost $100,000 a year, and probably schools that are great that cost $8,000 a year.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And for each one of those scenarios, you know, parents as always try to plan for things as much as they can and try to control things that are probably out of their control. You know, if you went to, I'll use Harvard as an example now that it's in the news so much, but if you went to Harvard, more than likely you'd love for your children to go to Harvard as well. But the way that, you know, college system works these days, it doesn't have as much emphasis on the alumni portion, which is a good thing. But again, the getting into these universities isn't what it used to be either. So parents the factors that are within their control versus those that are out of their control. So that is also a conversation we have to have that is not part of the financial piece, but again, on the emotional side of money, to where we say, hey, what if they don't get into Harvard? What does that look like? What are the next options, and how do we fund those things? And, you know, based on our original plan, depending on, did we use a 529 plan? Did we use a prepaid plan, Coverdell plan, all of these different options out there? you know, which one fits the most viable scenarios, and how do we try not to pigeonhole ourselves into one corner and say, hey, my kids are definitely going to go to Harvard, we're going to use these accounts, and then 3 years later, that doesn't happen to be the scenario. So, you know, those are all fun conversations.
Yeah. And, you know, it's every one of these conversations is super important and can be extremely challenging. Yeah. But the key thing is that you're having them and you're thinking about it. And that's so many different variables, which would cause me to really shut down and say, you know what, I'm just going to punt on this. But to your point, that's not a winning strategy, because the earlier that we start saving, the easier it is to obviously accumulate a greater amount of money. So those conversations around, is it a values driven conversation? There's practical, it's close to us, it costs less, it's the alumni network. How important it is to go through that sort of decision matrix?
Yeah, it depends on the person, of course. I have people I work with that just say, hey, we just want to look at in-state public universities because we know that that's within our budget, or, you know, we'd really like for our kids to stay within, I'll use Florida as an example because that's where I'm based. But then we have others who say, hey, I don't mind paying the private university tuition for my kids to go out of state somewhere because I want them to have that experience. But again, it's hit or miss with the parents, how open they want to be about that. Again, some of them don't want to show how much control they want in that relationship, I suppose. But at the end of the day, it boils down to the same conversation as far as the financing of these programs, and how early we start is really the most important piece.
Got it. All right. I think you mentioned three different methods. 529 plan, that probably a lot of people are somewhat familiar with. Prepaid, which I imagine fewer people are. And then I think you said Coverdale.
Yep. Yeah. So those are three of the probably most common ones. There's UTMA and UGMAs. I can give you at least a brief overview of what each of them are. So I'll start with the easier one, being here in Florida. We have something called a prepaid plan. I want to say there's probably 8 or 9 other states out there that also have a state-funded prepaid program. What it really is that you take today's tuition costs. So let's just say one credit at the University of Florida costs $500 in today's dollars, versus 18 years from now, it'll cost you $1,000. So what they allow you to do is you buy today's credits at today's prices at $500 a credit. And then in the future, when that tuition comes due at the University of Florida or any of the in-state public institutions, all those tuition credits are already paid for, and you paid for that, you know, 18 years ago or 15 years ago. So that way you take out the inflation piece of it, just because, again, the cost of college tuition has skyrocketed over the last 30, 40 years. So that way you take that risk out of it. It also allows you to with certain plans to allow you to pay for room and board. Unlike the 529 plans, it doesn't have as much flexibility when it comes to meal plans or, you know, fees are included, but books and other things like that. So it really is plan dependent on what is offered. As far as the payment structures, you can pay for either each credit, you can pay for separately in some programs, or you can pay for a semester or a year. So there are flexible ways to buy those credits, if you will. You can buy 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and you can add on that room on board in certain programs as well. But, you know, really what the benefits are, you're locking in today's prices without, you know, by taking out the inflation.
Well, that's certainly pretty slick. What happens if my kids don't end up going to school in Florida?
That is the biggest caveat. So what happens in that case is that the prepaid in Florida, for example, let's just say they look at all the credits, what the one credit costs across every public university in Florida. So say 100 universities, University of Florida may have more expensive credits at $400 or $500 a credit, but then you go to a community college down the road and theirs only cost $250. What they do is they take the average of all those prices And then once you go to an out-of-state school, they see, okay, credits out-of-state now cost $1,000, but you only have an average of $300 per credit based in Florida. So now you're coming into this out-of-state school with only $300 per credit when each credit really costs $1,000. So now you have to make up that difference out of pocket at that point. So that is by far the biggest, you know, con when it comes to prepaid plans, because they really are not meant for out-of-state schools for the most part. There are scenarios where it works out where you go to a cheaper out-of-state school. But, you know, you really should be confident that your children will go to that, you know, an in-state school if you're going to purchase that plan.
Got it. That seems like a really good idea. And it'd be interesting if every state went along with that. And who knows?
Yeah. I know they've added it to one or two states, but it's one of those things that it doesn't offer enough flexibility to a lot of people. And now that more and more kids are going out of state, it's hard to predict what your kid will do in, you know, 18 or 15 years, whenever they're ready to ship off. So,
yeah.
But with that, you know, that kind of transitions us into the other major plan, which is the 529 savings account. What is 529 savings account is, it is an investment account that is really only meant for educational purposes. So you are putting in after-tax dollars. So you have money in the bank and you put it into this 529 savings account. You allow that money to be invested, stocks, bonds, money market funds, what have you. You select the allocation, and that then grows tax-free for however long you need it to grow for. When your child or children then go off to university and you want to use those funds, you can pull money out of those accounts tax-free, which means that the growth on the in the account was tax deferred, and now all of what you're taking out is tax free as long as it's spent on qualified educational expenses. So room and board, tuition fees, books, computers, you can use them for graduate school or dental programs or medical school. So any supplies you need for any of those programs as well fall under that category. That is something that the big, beautiful bill now is trying to expand even further in being as flexible as possible. Because, you know, unlike the prepaid plan, you can use this on almost just about anything when it comes to education-related costs. And so the benefit of this plan is that you're not set in a certain payment plan. You can contribute $50 a month. You can, contribute $1,000 a month if you want. There are a couple of other perks to it in that anyone can contribute to it as well. If you as a parent open up a 529 for your children, grandparents, uncles, aunts, friends, neighbors, they can all contribute to this account for your child's benefit. What's nice about it as well is that you as the parent or the owner of the account keep complete control of the account. I briefly mentioned UTMA and UGMA accounts. Those are really investment accounts, custodial investment accounts for the benefit of children. But the biggest caveat there is that your child usually then gets custody of the account at the age of 18 or 21. So if you don't necessarily trust your child with $30,000, $40,000 at the ripe age of 18, then those may not be, you know, the best option for you there. So those accounts are better used for, you know, buying a car or maybe a house down payment or something along those lines. But you know, the 529 account allows you to invest for long-term educational goals. It also allows you to spend, you know, a newer provision in it. You can use up to $10,000 per year on private school K through 12 now as well, per child, per year. So that is a big benefit that a lot of people have started using and taking advantage of. If they think, hey, we have probably overfunded this 529 account for college, let's just use it for a couple of years of private school here. And that way we're not left with a huge amount, you know, post-college that we don't know what to do with. Go ahead.
That's awesome. And I appreciate that. That's a nice feature that other people can make contributions to it. And then now you can use it for the education expenses outside of just college. What happens if my kid doesn't get a scholarship or doesn't use all that money? It just sits there and goes away, or what?
Yeah, so there's a couple different options there. You as a parent could technically take that money and spend it if you wanted to. I don't recommend it because you will pay a 10% penalty on the earnings and you will have to pay ordinary income taxes on the earnings as well. So not something we typically recommend. However, since the Secure Act 2.0 passed a couple of years ago, they've opened up a nice new alternative to what you can do with those funds. What they allow you to do now is you can convert those leftover funds into a Roth IRA in the name of the beneficiary. So I'll just make up an example. I am the father of Jimmy, and Jimmy has now gone through college, but he still has $30,000 left in this 529 account, and we don't know what to do with it. The one alternative would be, hey, you can change beneficiaries to a sibling. That's always an option as well. If Jimmy had a younger sister that wanted to go to college, we could switch the money over to her. Or in the other scenario where he doesn't have a sister and she doesn't need the money, we can now start converting that $30,000 into a Roth IRA for his benefit. There are some caveats there or some requirements. The account will have to be open for 15 years. My son would have to have earned income of at least whatever I'm converting. So the yearly limit right now is $7,000 for anyone under 50. So as long as Jamie's earned $7,000, we can convert $7,000 that year into the account. There is a lifetime maximum right now at $35,000 as well. That's why I chose $30,000 because that would go into there just fine. But anything above $30,000, $35,000 right now, you would either want to switch to another beneficiary, or if there's no other, you know, options out there, then you could take the money out and, you know, yourself, but you'd pay those penalties and the taxes on it.
Got it. Awesome. Just from a kind of take a step back, do you, I think a lot of people want to help their kids and they go about opening these kinds of accounts when they're not saving for their own retirement. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that is a wonderful question. And you kind of took my difference tip a little early here almost, but no, I'll come up with something else. But what I put down was put yourself first. And this is going to be very hard for most parents. And I'm sure I'll be able to relate to it down the road as well. But exactly to your point, most parents put their kids first, and it's natural for us to do so. But in this case, a lot of people look at their children's education as the number one priority when there are a lot of steps that they themselves should be taking first before they start barging into the education planning universe, if you will. So if we look at, you know, parents that are planning for college but also have high interest debt or don't have an emergency fund or not maxing out the match at the 401k that their employer is providing. Those are all things, for example, that I would put way ahead of education planning when it comes to prioritizing their financial plan. We always say you can take out loans for college, but you can't take out loans for retirement. So it's hard for people to come to that realization, but there are certainly some very essential steps that they need to take first before they start, you know, contributing to a 529 plan. What's nice about the 529 account, like I said, even if you can't afford it right now, maybe a grandparent or an uncle or aunt wants to gift $50 or $100 for a birthday or Christmas, whatever it might be. Instead of that extra toy, say, hey, we have this account. It's an option. You can write a check directly to the 529 plan, and that way they know where it's going. They know it's going to be spent for a good purpose down the road. So, you know, that is a way to kind of get around those that issue.
Well, I think that's awesome for sure, and a great way to think about it, that you can take loans out for college, but you can't take them out for retirement. And fundamentally, if you don't have a retirement plan, then your kids are going to be your retirement plan, and I don't think that anybody wants that necessarily. So
exactly, that's exactly how we put it to our clients as well, and that's when that you see a little shock factor on their face at that point.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I think it's awesome advice that you need to put yourself first. And I mean, as much as we want to help our kids, it's literally the mask on the airplane kind of a thing. You got to secure your own mask before you start taking care of children. So
yeah, no, that's a great example.
I love it. I love it. We will count that as a difference-making tip, Oscar, because I stole, I tried to steal your thunder, but you...
You're ahead of me.
You've given us a lot to think about, and this is like most everything else that we're planning for. It seems like it's really, really, really complicated, but when you actually sit down and you ask the right questions, you sit down with somebody like you, it becomes a lot more manageable. I can get my arms around it, get my brain around it. We can actually start planning versus if we just keep it in our heads and hope that it's going to take care of itself or wait for the right time to be thinking about this kind of stuff. I don't know that that right time is ever going to show up.
Yeah, no, you're exactly. I mean, just like a lot of big topics that you tackle that I handle. I mean, estate planning, for example, is not something anyone ever really wants to talk about, but education planning is another one of those elephants in the room that no one really wants to talk about until it's really time to do so. And exactly to your point, there is so much out there, but it's manageable. It's just taking that first step, getting acquainted with the different funding options, what your state offers, the different scholarships out there. There's loan programs. I know I'm naming a bunch of things here, so it seems more complicated, but getting a start by speaking with someone or just familiarizing yourself online is a great place to start. Even for our clients that seek out professional help, I send a lot of them to a website called Saving for College. They have a great calculator on there. You can look at in-state tuition, out-of-state tuition, private tuition, those things. It explains what a 529 plan is, what a prepaid plan is. So that is a great place for young parents to start to look, or people that are, considering having kids in the future as well.
Excellent. Love it. Well, Oscar, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can people engage with you?
Yeah. So I work at Provice Management Group. We are a financial planning and wealth management firm located in Tampa and Clearwater, Florida. However, we work with people all across the country. I think we're in 38 states these days. Work with families, individuals, businesses from all walks of life. So if they want to reach out to us, they can find us on www.provice.com. And my email should be on our website so they can reach out to me directly. We do lots of free complimentary consultations. So there's no sale of a financial plan or our services. We're happy to help people. And if it decides to be a good match, then great. But if not, we're happy to help.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Oscar your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend that also appreciates good ideas. Go to Provice, Provice.com. Check out all the great resources. You can track Oscar down on the site, shoot him a message, and have that initial conversation. If you've got kids, it's probably something that's been on your mind, or you think about that it should be on your mind, whatever. Just have that initial conversation and find out what it's going to take to help your kids get to where they want to go, or whatever it's going to take to get those kids out of the house, for goodness sakes. Thanks again, Oscar.
Thank you.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.